What I'm going to preach about today is one basic question. Why are we here? Why are we here in this city, okay? And so that's what we're going to get into. But before we do that, I need to set a foundation for you, okay? And so the first thing I'm going to talk about is a theology for the city. What does the Bible say? What does God tell us about how we are to interact with cities, okay? And the first thing I want to tell you is this. If we look to Revelation chapter 21, God's future redeemed world at the end of time, future redeemed world is described as a city. It's called the New Jerusalem. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 4 says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be them and be their with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.'" What is the Bible saying? That at the end of the day, what God is building up towards is this great, holy, redeemed city called the New Jerusalem. Now, if we look in the next chapter, Revelation 22, it talks about the city. In the city is a river that flows all throughout the city. And on the left of the river and the right of the river are the trees of life, bearing fruit and leaves that will heal the nations. And the river flows out of the city and heals the world. What am I saying? The city is a fulfillment of what began in the Garden of Eden. You see, we started in the garden, but we are ending in a city. And what this city will be, what this city will represent, is the redemption of every consequence of the fall that happened in the garden. What this city will do, it will bring healing to the nations. The Bible says there will be no mourning, no pain, no crying. I don't know about you, but I hate crying and pain. But in this city, there will be no mourning, no crying, no pain. This is the New Jerusalem. We're building up towards a great city. We began in a garden, but we're going to end in a city. Why is this important? Because this is the vision that we need to have for every single city. You see, I'm not the type of person that's just going to sit back and wait till I die to be in paradise. I'm believing that wherever I step, wherever I go, whatever city I occupy, that heaven will come into that city. And we as the church, we have to understand our presence here in San Francisco is greater than just ourselves. We are looking to manifest the New Jerusalem here right now. But the problem is this, cities usually get a bad rap. You guys know what I'm talking about? You know, we see the city's overcrowded, overpriced, tourists to the left and the right, high in crime, a lot of greed, a lot of darkness, a lot of sin. How many know that cities bring out the best and the worst of humanity, right? Cities manifest the darkest of darkness. Fear and hopelessness have caused the church to abandon cities and go to suburbs. You know, I grew up in a nice, beautiful Korean church, and it's technically in San Francisco, but it's more in the suburby part of San Francisco. And what I find is that in the suburbs, there's nothing wrong with church in the suburbs. But what I found is throughout the 1900s, a lot of churches abandoned the city because darkness started to prevail. They started going to suburbs, starting to go to all these places because the darkness was so thick, and people abandoned the call to redeem cities. As a result, we've seen many believers move to churches in suburbs and different areas. But I feel like God is asking, what about the city? You see, light shines brightest in the darkest of darkness. You know, I remember when I was in Korea in 2012. That's when I first met Cassandra, actually. And it was intense. It was my first day or my first week there. And then Cassandra was running this ministry that was reaching out to human sex trafficking victims and survivors and blessing the city, going into the red light districts, bringing light in the darkness. And I remember I went on a prayer walk with the team. This was my first interaction with Cassandra. This is like the first thing that we did. And I remember we broke up into little groups and we just walked into the city. And I remember my particular group, you know, we were walking down an alley and a drunk man approached us. And he was so broken. He was so distraught, but he was so disoriented. And I don't know what came over me. I'm not good at Korean. But all of a sudden, I started speaking really good Korean to this man. Like, honestly, when I go to Korea, people think I'm autistic. Like, that's how bad my Korean is. Like, when I speak, it doesn't, you know. And so I remember I was in front of this man, and the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I started ministering in Korean to this man. I started saying things like, God's love is upon you. The Father's love is upon you. He's wrapping you in your arms. He's forgiving you of everything. And I remember what happened is this man broke down right in front of me. And somehow in the next few seconds, we ended up in an embrace. And it's one of those embraces where slowly you start to lower yourself. And then we were both on the ground, on our knees. This man was weeping in my shoulders. You see, this area is one of the darkest places in Itaewon, red light district, left and right. But in the darkest of darkness, light shines so clearly. Have you ever been in a lukewarm light setting like this and you turn on a flashlight? Not much of an impact. But when it's completely dark, the light shines so bright. So how many of you guys know that even though the city might manifest the darkest of dark, it also shines the brightest light? And this is God's mandate for the city. What am I saying? Cities are important to God. And God is calling us to carry his heart for cities. Now I want to talk about why cities are important, okay? We're going to get into the good stuff. But why are cities important? Number one, cities have the power to impact culture. Tim Keller says, reach the city to reach the culture. If you want to change culture here in America and all around the world, your mandate is to reach the cities. If you look at major cultural influences, they almost always flow out of cities. Think about Hollywood, how they affected mainstream entertainment and media. Think about how music has flown out all throughout the world. Places like Atlanta and New York was where hip-hop was born. Oakland, where the hyphy movement came. You know, all these trends, all these cultural influences pour out of major cities. Cities are where the arts, education, medicine, media, entertainment, anything that you can think of are pushed forward exponentially. Cities have power to impact culture and change the world. Number two, cities have the power to influence the nations. If you think here in San Francisco even, it's a melting pot of different ethnicities, people from all around the world. You won't find anything like it. You know, I remember we were in Kansas City, David and I, for one New Year's, and it's kind of the opposite there. It's all white people. And so I remember even, it was New Year's Day, and we were at a Red Lobster. You know, we're just eating a beautiful Red Lobster lunch. And I remember the waitress came up to us, and God bless her heart, she was really genuinely trying to have a conversation with us, but we were like, oh, Happy New Year's. He's like, oh yeah, Happy New, wait, isn't New Year's in February or something for you guys? And I remember thinking, this place just doesn't know diversity. And God bless her heart, we weren't mad or anything, but we enjoyed our lobster and our crab. But it just made me think, there's nowhere like here in San Francisco where it's so diverse, where people are exposed to every walk of life, every part of the world, every part of the nation. Cities have the power to influence nations. Why? Because the nations are in the cities. You see, Paul's ministry strategy was to impact cities. Paul knew that if he were to reach the major cities, if we were to plant a church in Rome, in Ephesus, in Corinth, in all these cities, he knew that he could reach the world. And guess what? He did. Why do you think Christianity was so impactful upon the world? It's because Paul chose to reach the cities. It was a strategy. Now back to our original question. That's the foundation. This is the foundation. Cities are important to God, and cities have the power to impact culture and impact the nations. So the question is, why are we here? Why are we here in this city? I was really asking God this question. As we started to dream and write down vision for this house, I felt convicted to ask God, God, why are we here in this particular place? And I found my answer on another church website, because I've been stalking other churches here in San Francisco, by the way, who are doing amazing stuff. And their vision for San Francisco just struck my heart. And it was this: why are we here? The answer is this: because San Francisco. You see, we could have been anywhere else in the world, but we're here. Why? Because San Francisco. See, we could have been in Chicago, we could have been in Oakland, we could have been in San Jose, I could just be dancing like this, we could be anywhere, but we're here in San Francisco. Why? Because San Francisco. Because San Francisco is an amazing city. Because San Francisco is a city loved by God. Because San Francisco is a city that Jesus died for. Because San Francisco is an influential city. Because San Francisco is the techiest place on earth, right? Because San Francisco is home to the Giants, represent. Because San Francisco attracts the weirdest people in the world. You know, I never heard of the Folsom Street Festival, but I was walking down the street the other week, and there's these guys in these leather straps. Some of them only had a sock that they were wearing. I'll leave it to your imagination where that sock was. But I was just thinking, there's such weird people here in San Francisco, only in San Francisco. Why? Because San Francisco is as diverse as they come. San Francisco has the best food. Why? San Francisco is a city that God's heart longs to redeem. Why are we here? Because San Francisco. We're not here to build our church. We're here because San Francisco. Now, all of us came here for a different reason. If we could just be honest. Some of us came because we were being obedient to God's call. We have no idea why he told us to go. Especially all East Bay folks, right? You don't know why God called you here. You guys got to cross a bridge every week, you know? You don't know why you're here. Some of you just came because you obeyed. For others, you came because it was cool, right? How many of you guys been on the hype train before, right? Some of y'all came for that reason. But regardless of whether you came out of obedience or out of hype, we have to come to a place of understanding. You see, as a child, whatever my mom told me to do, I did. Well, most of the time. Whatever my mom or my dad told me to do, I just blindly obeyed, right? But what happens as an adult, they don't need to tell you to do things anymore. Instead, you have their values. You have their heart. And so you do things not because of instruction, but because you have the values of your parents. In the same way, some of you, God called you here and you don't know why yet, but I believe in this next season, in these next few weeks, God is giving you his value system. He's giving you his heart. And what his heart beats for is San Francisco, okay? It's time to move on from obedience and hype to understanding. It's time to ask God to help us to adopt his heart for San Francisco. So why are we here? Because God called us, sure. But why did God call us here? The answer is because San Francisco. And I want you to start resonating with this in your prayer. I want you to start repeating this. God, why did you call me here? Because San Francisco. Because San Francisco is why I'm here. Because God wants San Francisco to begin resembling the New Jerusalem. There's too many who are lonely, who are broken, who are suicidal, who are hopeless, who are joyless, who are homeless, who are alone, who are abandoned. You know, even this morning, Sarah and I were driving to church early in the morning, and we're at a red light, and this man, and you could tell he was kind of out of his mind, he stopped in front of our car, and he looked us straight in our eyes, and he was just yelling, "You!" I wish I had a beep, but it was, "You! Beep you! Beep you!" He kept saying it again and again, and there's so much malice in his face, and he ended it by going, and he spit right on Sarah's windshield. These are the people that God is calling us to reach. This is the reason why we're here in San Francisco. It's for that purpose, for people like these, for the brokenness, for the loneliness, for the pain, all these things to begin to fade away and for us to manifest as the church, the new Jerusalem. And so where do we begin? Step one is this. We begin with contextualization. What does that mean? We may have the right message. We may have the right gospel, but it matters how it's expressed and communicated. Say, for example, I'm not going to talk the same way to a child as I would my wife because I will get beat, right? Contextualization. I'm not going to talk the same way to an American crowd as I am to an Indonesian crowd. Contextualization. The message and the heart might be the same, but how we communicate it, how we express it matters. And so the question is this, where do we begin? And this is, you can start writing this down. These are the three action items I believe God is calling us to participate in the season to adopt his heart for San Francisco. The first one is this, embrace the city. Embrace the city. See, to embrace anything, you have to be close enough to wrap your arms around it. And we're going to read from today's verse, and it's found in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 4 through 7, and I'll read it for you right now. This is what it says. "This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon." So what's happening is all the Israelites were exiled from Jerusalem, and they're being brought into Babylon. Verse 5, "Build houses and settle down. plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And so number one, embrace the city. If we look at verse 5, it says, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. What is Jeremiah saying? Literally, eat here in San Francisco. Nicole understands. Literally, it says, eat what they produce. Settle down in the city. Now, I know that not all of you guys live here, but what is Jeremiah trying to say? He's saying, spend time in the city. Get to know the city. Get to know the faces. Interact with the people. You see, how many of you guys know that the city, San Francisco, remains conceptual until we're able to put faces to it? You know, I used to always struggle with understanding the gay community. And I used to always I was very black and white in the way that I thought about it. Until I had a friend who struggled with homosexuality, until I started having gay friends, and it changed the way that I viewed this topic. Now, I'm not gonna get into that. I know sometimes we're gonna have to get into that here in the city, but it changed the way that I loved. It changed the way that I looked at the gay community. It changed the way that I looked at my gay friend. We have to learn to put faces, otherwise San Francisco is just a concept. Until we put faces and places, intricacies of the city into our mind is just a concept. You see, we don't have a right to claim solutions for the problems of a city that we're not willing to spend time in. You know, there was an article written a few months ago when Hillsong announced that they're coming to San Francisco. By the way, I'm really excited that Hillsong is coming to San Francisco. So Saddleback, you know, we need all the reinforcements we can get. And if I could, this is kind of a side tangent. We've been meeting with different pastors from here in the city, and it's been so awesome because none of them are territorial. None of them were worried that we're going to steal their sheep, but they are so welcoming, inviting, even going to the point saying, anything you need. You know, I told Pastor Travis from Canvas, he's one of our friends, that Krista had to go to Emeryville today and that we didn't have a keyboardist because Connie was sick. And he's like, listen, if you guys need an instrumentalist, a musician, we'll send it your way. Anything you guys need. That's just the reception that we've been getting. And he even posted on his Facebook page, look, I got some friends who are starting Sons and Daughters. Their public launch. He wasn't supposed to announce that, but he did. They're publicly launching November 3rd. We haven't even done that. He was like, they're publicly launching November 13th, and I want you guys to check it out. In fact, become members of their church. That's how non-territorial the pastors that we've been interacting with are. Everyone is welcoming different ministries, reinforcements to see San Francisco transformed. It's not building their own kingdom. It's building the kingdom of God here in the city. Anyway, I'm excited for Hillsong to come. But what this article expressed back a few months ago, this person who's been living in the city, been in the church in the city for years and years and years, was saying, you know, the way they're going about it is all wrong. He's saying, they're coming in guns blazing, saying that we're the hope for the city. We're the saviors of the city is kind of how he interpreted. I didn't interpret it that way, but that's how this blogger interpreted it. And he was saying, they're just coming in thinking they know us, but they haven't even spent any time with us. And I realized that that's the sentiments of a lot of long-lasting residents of San Francisco, is that when new churches and ministries come, new companies, new tech companies come, it's just like, okay, they come and they go. But they haven't spent time with us. They haven't gotten to know us. They haven't understood the heartbeat of the city. How can they claim to have the solution for it? I want to say this. We need to approach San Francisco with humility. I don't want to come in here saying, we are San Francisco's savior. Now that Sons and Daughters is in San Francisco, it's going to all change. That may be true, but we approach it with humility. We say, I come humbly saying, I want to learn first. I want to adopt the heartbeat of the city. I want to get to know the city before anything else. And we see in the life of Jesus, this is exactly how he lived. For 30 years of his life, he didn't do any ministry. He might have taught here and there, but he didn't heal a single person, raise anyone from the dead. He didn't do any of that. 30 years, he just lived among the people. Why? Because he wanted to adopt the heart and the culture of the place he was ministering to. First step, we need to embrace the city. We have to know the city. See, when people see that we care about their culture, that we care for what San Francisco is about, it's going to open their hearts to receive what we have to say. But it starts there. You know, I'm so lucky because how many of you guys live in the city, first of all? Amen. That's awesome. Give yourselves a round of applause. I actually grew up in San Francisco. My parents were too scared to live in San Francisco. So we lived in South San Francisco in the burbs. But my parents worked right in the heart of Japantown. And there was a bowling alley there. Now it's like a retirement home. But it used to be a bowling alley. And they owned a little coffee shop in that bowling alley. And so I used to spend all my days after school going to the coffee shop right in the heart of Japantown. You know, I got mugged there a few times. I played arcades there. I learned how to bowl there. Had an awesome time. I remember on 19th Street, there was this playground that I used to go to too. I don't know if you guys remember, but there was this big war jet that they let kids go into this jet. It was just on the lawn, and you could go into it. I used to play at that playground. I used to swing there. And then Golden Gate Park, you know, I used to go there when I was a little kid. I used to grab those cardboard boxes and slide down the stone slides, because if you don't use the cardboard box, then it kind of rips your pants, you know. And I remember there was an experience when I was a little kid. I was like 5 years old, and I remember I grabbed my entire family, and I made us all hold hands, and I started praying for us in Korean. So it's in me. So I have all these memories, this history with San Francisco. I remember I took driver's ed in San Francisco as well in the Sunset. I remember that's where I crashed my car once. I remember I used to hang out at Stonestown Mall. You know, I have this deep history with San Francisco, and I'm realizing that because I have this history, I feel like I have a right to share the word of God here in San Francisco. I even remember at SF State, you know, my best friend in youth group, he spent so much time with me that his grades fell really low. And so his parents forbade him from going to church or seeing me. It's really dramatic. It was like Romeo and Juliet. And so we used to secretly text each other and say, all right, let's meet at the San Francisco State Library on Saturday at 12 p.m. And so I remember sometimes I'd be sitting there, and then I'd hear a rustling in the bush. I'd say, psst, Mickey, look. And we used to rendezvous and have these secret meetings and get-ups. And, you know, all these things come to mind now that I'm back here in San Francisco. The history that I've made here. You know, I'm not just an outsider coming in. But I feel like I resonate with San Francisco, even though I haven't been here for the last few years, because I have this history. And this is what I long for you, too, is that you would build a history with the city that you're called to. You would come to know it. You would come to understand it. You would have those secret rendezvous places where you used to meet with your best friend. You would have those spots where you remember you crashed your car, where you used to slide down the stone slides and rip your pants. You would have those experiences getting mugged. Just kidding. I don't prophesy that over any of you. But you will have this history, this deep, rich history, knowing your city. You know, I didn't share this with everyone, but when Chris and I were friends in college, each of us got a vision from the Lord separately at different times. And I remember in my vision, God said, Mickey, I'm calling you to love the rainbow. And Krista, in a separate vision, she got a vision. She said, I'm calling you to love the rainbow. And so we carried this vision for the rainbow. We had no idea what it meant. You know, I just thought, I like colorful colors. I love rainbows. I think they're beautiful. And we used to carry this in our heart. And sometimes we'd even argue, like, God's called me to love the rainbow. No, God's called me to love the rainbow. And I remember we used to have these arguments in college. And I remember when we got together and Pastor Benjamin told us that we were going to launch San Francisco, it didn't come to our mind until a few months later. Dude, remember that time in college? God called each of us to the rainbow. And we realized San Francisco, of course, the rainbow, the gay community. We're like, oh my God, like it's crazy how God orchestrated all these things. You see, what I'm asking you is, ask God to give you a vision for this city, to give you a heartbeat for San Francisco. See, it's in the process of embracing the city as our own where we begin adopting the needs of the city in our hearts. See, when you grow closer to someone or something, you begin to adopt their needs. You begin to adopt their heart. You know, when I got closer to Krista, the closer and closer we got, the more and more I adopted the needs of her heart. And so I started to understand, okay, she needs quality time. Okay, she needs affection. Okay, she needs ice cream, right? You begin to, as you draw closer and closer to someone, you begin to adopt their needs. And this is the challenge. Embrace the city. Begin adopting the needs of your city by getting to know it. See, San Francisco, if you didn't know this, is 7 by 7 miles. There's 36 neighborhoods, 800,000 people, only 13% Christian. This city needs Jesus. Even in 1849, when the gold rush happened, the city in 1 year went from 1,000 people to 25,000 people. See, this is a city that needs Jesus. But the first step is this, embracing the city, getting to know it. Now, for some of you, it may take greater intentionality. And I'm speaking specifically to y'all East Bay folks. I think it's amazing that you guys are here. And I believe God has called you here. And I believe there's a reason why you're here. But my challenge to you is this. I challenge you to go beyond just coming here on Sunday. And I don't mean this to shame you in any way, but to challenge you. I challenge you to spend actual time here in San Francisco, eating at the restaurants, walking the streets, talking to the people. Why? Because it's going to make your presence in your ministry so much more effective here in San Francisco. It may be inconvenient, and I'm actually calling you to go above and beyond. But if not for this reason, then why are we here? If not to reach San Francisco, why are we here? It begins with embracing the city. Now, number one is embrace the city. Number two is speak hope over the city. You see, for decades, people have been prophesying death over San Francisco. I can't tell you how many prophetic words that I've read of people saying that there's a great quake coming and God is going to judge the city and God is going to pour tidal waves of you know, all these things, destruction, death over San Francisco because God wants to judge it for its wickedness. I'm not saying that's not true, but I'm saying this. The ironic thing is that most of these prophets who spoke death over the city haven't spent any significant time in it. Why do you think God was so displeased with Jonah? Because he called Jonah to deliver a message, but Jonah hated the people so much, he spoke so much ill about the people of Nineveh, and he didn't spend any time there. Let me ask you this. If someone spoke evil about your family, but didn't spend any time with you guys, how would you feel? You know, every now and then, we get a message in our Living Hope Facebook message inbox saying, your church is this, your church is that. You know, your church doesn't do this, your church doesn't do that. You know, you guys are heretical, you guys are horrible for the city. And I'm like, who is this guy? I've never even seen this person at a service, maybe one service, but that's it. You know, it's the same thing. We can't speak any correction. We can't claim any solutions for the city until we've spent time there. No one's going to listen. You see, anyone can point out what's wrong with someone, but it's harder to love, to prophesy life, to prophesy hope. It's harder for me to spend time with someone and instead of seeing their faults and their weaknesses, only highlight their strengths. But I believe this is exactly what God's calling us to do. God is calling us to speak hope over the city. God is not calling us to prophesy death or destruction. He's calling us to prophesy life and hope over San Francisco. We're not going to be the ones prophesying death and destruction, saying you're going to burn for your wickedness. No, we're going to prophesy saying there is hope for the city and his name is Jesus. There is hope for the city and there is freedom coming. This is the message that we're going to speak. And so my second challenge to you is this. Do not speak ill of San Francisco. Do not speak ill of the city that you are called to. And I had to check myself, you know? I had to check myself because I complain all the time about how there's no parking anywhere, especially at the Ferry Building. I don't know why from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. they don't allow you to park at the meters. It doesn't make sense. You know, rent's so high. We could say all these ill things about San Francisco, but I believe God is calling us to forsake those things and speak hope over the city. Would you speak ill of your family? If we go to verse 6 in the verse that I read you, it said this, marry and have sons and daughters. Can I get a witness? Some of y'all, I prophesy you're going to find your husband and your wife here in San Francisco at sons and daughters. I'm just speaking that. I don't know if it's of the Lord. It says, marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. What is he saying? He's saying, God is saying, speak of your city as if it were your own flesh and blood. Speak of your city as if it were your sons and daughters, as if it were your wife or your husband. Speak of the city as if it were your family. And this is what the attitude that God is calling us to have, to see San Francisco as something that we speak hope and life over instead of tearing down or destroying. We need to develop appreciative attitudes towards the city. We need to learn to see the beauty of our city. We need to become voices of hope for our city. We need to begin praying hope over San Francisco. Amen? And this is the last thing. So number one, embrace the city. Number two, speak hope over the city. Number three, prosper the city. Tim Keller says, Christians should seek to live in the city, not to use the city to build great churches, but to use the church's resources to seek a great flourishing city. This kind of rocked my world because I would always quote that the wealth of the nations are coming to us, and that is absolutely true. But did you know that the reason why we're in San Francisco isn't just to build up our own church? We're not using San Francisco to build up our church. Actually, our presence in San Francisco should prosper the city. What if for no other reason, other than just love, what if we just prospered the city? Instead of trying to build ourselves up, you know, the next verse it says, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. You see, the growth of our church is not the goal. The prospering of the city is why we're here. Because of our presence, San Francisco should be blessed. I don't want to be a church where if we were here or we weren't here, it wouldn't make a difference. I want it to be said, because Sons and Daughters was here in this little Italian nightclub in the Mission District, that the whole area was blessed. This is what we're going after. You know, a few days ago, my wife and I were watching Netflix, and I don't know if you guys know, but my cousin is Margaret Cho. She's a famous Korean-American comedian. And she's extremely ratch. Like some of the things that she jokes about, I wouldn't be able to play here in church, but I think she's hilarious. And we were watching this stand-up comedy on Netflix, and I was so blown away because not only was she funny, but she was speaking some really insightful things. And one thing she was speaking about was her relationship with Robin Williams, the late and great Robin Williams. Do you guys know that Robin Williams spent a significant amount of time here in San Francisco? And one thing that Margaret said that she adored about Robin Williams is even before he got famous and even after, he used to walk the streets of San Francisco without any bodyguards, just walking the streets, talking to people. And whenever he'd come across a poor person or someone who's homeless, he'd empty out all of his pockets and just give it to that person. There was one time where he did stand-up comedy. He raised $70 million for homeless people. His presence here in San Francisco prospered the city. I don't care if he was Christian or not. His presence here prospered the city. And Margaret was so grieved when Robin Williams died. And she was talking to another comedian friend, and she was telling the story about how when she was talking to this friend, the person said, "Don't grieve Robin, be Robin." And so Margaret, as ratchet as she is, last year, she actually spent a month here in San Francisco, and what she would do is she'd do comedy shows at night, but during the day, she would busk in the city, in the street, among the people, and she would do comedy, she'd have musicians come in, and she would open up a box, and people would just give whatever they wanted to give to help the homeless. And her philosophy was this: give what you can and take what you need. And so people would start giving all these things, and then the homeless would come and they would take. And this person, Margaret, hates Christianity. She hates Christians. She hates God. But her presence prospered the city. As a result, Robin Williams, Margaret Cho, all these people who spent time in the city, who prospered the city, they're respected by the city. When they speak, the city listens. And listen, I don't know about you, but if we speak and no one listens, I feel like we've missed the point. If people's hearts aren't open to us because we're speaking hope over the city and we're prospering the city, then we've missed the point. Listen, I was so inspired by my cousin, as ratchet as she is. Her presence here in San Francisco made a difference. And I believe God is going to do the same thing through us. Now, prosperity doesn't just mean financially. It means pushing forward education, medicine, technology, the arts, entertainment, justice. It means contributing here to San Francisco. This quote is amazing. Transformational churches seek to engage the city on every level, spiritually, economically, socially. The power of the gospel at work in believers becomes hope, not only for the church, but for the city. What am I saying? I believe that God has called us here to San Francisco, and because of our presence here, the city will prosper. But we have to be very intentional about finding ways how to do that. And so number one, embrace the city. Number two, speak hope over the city. And number three, prosper the city. These are all practical ways that we can start to contextualize our ministry here. Now here's the conclusion. What if our presence actually transformed San Francisco? What if because we were here, the city prospered? What if because we were here, peace was established on the streets? You know, I remember this amazing story about these Bethel worship leaders who came here to San Francisco. They would come to the Castro, and they would just start playing and worshiping for no other purpose, not to evangelize. They just thought that if they released worship into the atmosphere, something would change. They started doing this, and they started getting hated on by everyone in the neighborhood. People were throwing tomatoes at them, eggs at them. Their lives were in danger, but they would come every week, and they would just worship. A few months into it, it seemed like there was no fruit. Like, they were just worshiping into a wall. But a police officer came up to them and said, "Listen, I don't know what you guys are doing, but every week when you guys come here, during the specific hours that you guys are singing music, for some reason, crime stops. It's like we don't have a job when you guys are here. Like, it just stops." Listen, I want us to be the kind of church that when we're having service here, when we're walking the streets going to Gus's Market or Whole Foods, that literally crime stops here in the city. That literally the neighborhoods that we're in, the neighborhoods that we walk, that something is different. I don't know about you, but I'm so sick and tired of playing church. That's not why I'm here anymore. I'm here because I really believe that the city can be different because of our presence. I really believe that the city will be transformed because Sons and Daughters is here in Potrero Hill / Mission. I believe that because we're here, hope will be released over the city. And you know what? You might call me idealistic, but I'd rather have a hope-filled gospel than a gospel void of hope any day, because a gospel devoid of hope is no gospel at all. This is why we're here. We're here to speak hope over our city. We're here to see San Francisco impacted and changed, but it starts with these three things. Number one, embracing the city. Number two, learning to speak and prophesy life over the city. And number three, finding ways to contribute to and prosper the city. Listen, I'm not delusional enough to believe that we're the only hope for San Francisco. There are churches here that are doing amazing things, but I believe that we play a part. I believe that we're here in this neighborhood for a reason. I believe that we're here in Potrero Hill Mission, and I have a heart for the dog patch. I believe that we're here for a specific reason. I believe that God is going to bring transformation. I'll end with a few quotes. Tim Keller says, "The city will challenge us discover the power of the gospel in new ways." Meaning, as many as we're going to find very unique challenges here in San Francisco. You know, in Emeryville, we didn't have to deal with this so much, but here in San Francisco, I really believe that we're going to engage a lot with the gay community. And historically, the church has not engaged with the gay community well. See, each new challenge gives us an opportunity to discover the power of the gospel in a new way. What am I saying? There's going to be unique challenges being here in San Francisco. San Francisco has a high homeless population, way more than Emeryville. I believe it's going to be a unique challenge, but it's also going to be an opportunity to discover the power of the gospel in a new way. San Francisco right now, there's major gentrification. Right now, only 10% of San Franciscans are Black. Statistically lowering because of gentrification. But I believe these unique opportunities are unique invitations into discovering the power of the gospel in new ways. Why did we talk about faithfulness in the weeks before this? Because faithfulness is the foundation that sets us up for fruitfulness. But as we continue to be faithful, we can begin to ask God how he plans to use us to bless the city. I want to invite Justin up. He plays guitar. He's beautiful. You got to plug it into that little, here, I'll help you right here. I want us to respond really quick. And so I want everyone to close their eyes. Why are we here? Because San Francisco. We're here because San Francisco is a city that God loves. We're here because San Francisco is a city that God longs to redeem. Right now, I want you to take a moment. And we did an activity a few weeks ago where we asked God, God, give me dreams and vision for this house. Right now, I want you to ask God, God, give me dreams, give me visions for my city. God, give me a vision for San Francisco. Is there a particular way that you're calling us to engage with San Francisco? Is there a particular way that you're calling us to love San Francisco? Is there a particular thing that you long to do here in San Francisco? God, how do you see San Francisco? God, give me your heart for San Francisco. And so right now, just take a moment and ask God, God, give me a vision for San Francisco. How do you see San Francisco? What are your plans? Invite me into your plans for San Francisco. Just begin asking that right now. Now, for the next minute, I want you to just begin speaking hope over the city. Begin speaking hope over San Francisco. Begin prophesying whatever the Lord spoke to you about the city. Lord, right now, we just prophesy hope over San Francisco. We prophesy life over San Francisco. We say this is not a city that's in your heart's desire to judge or to destroy. But Lord, even the Ninevehs, God, even the cities that were pure and wicked, God, you long to redeem. And so we speak over San Francisco that this is an amazing city. This is an amazing city. There's so much potential. There's so much life. God, there's so much opportunity. We thank you. This is a city that the world looks to. This is a city that the nations come to. This is a city that longs to impact the world. We just thank you, Lord, that this city is special in your heart, that you have not forgotten about San Francisco, but you love San Francisco so much that Jesus died for San Francisco. And you long to use San Francisco to impact the world. Come on. Come on. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And as the last thing I want to challenge you with, a very practical way that you can live out the message that I preach is this. Over the next few weeks, for some of you, you might need to intentionally do this. For some of you might know. But I want you to choose one place, whether it's in the Mission District, Potrero, Dog Patch, wherever. I want you to choose one place that God is longing to put on your heart. And so for me, for example, it's a restaurant called Plow. Me and my wife, we go there all the time. It's on 18th Street. So choose a place that's full of people.